be that I was going to talk about, I thought I'll do a Christmas sermon. That would be appropriate, seeing it was Christmas. But then Tim kind of stole that on Wednesday, so I thought, well, since he did Christmas, I'm going to move on to the next holiday, which is New Year's. And with New Year's comes New Year's resolutions. And so that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. I put together a top 10 New Year's resolutions list. And I'd like to start by looking over at Ephesians 5, starting in 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I picked this verse here as in verse 16 there. It says, redeeming the time. And to me, that's what the turn of the new year is often about, as we kind of think back at this last year and what we did or maybe didn't do or wanted to do and maybe hope to this time or this year around. So as I mentioned, they're redeeming the time. I hope that you can look at some of the items that are on my list. Some may apply, some may not, but be thinking about some of those and how you might be able to apply them to this next year as you go throughout your Christian walk. So you might be thinking, how did I come up with my list last night when we went to dinner with some of our family? They asked how I came up with my list, and I told them, I said, well, I just looked at Mikey and thought of all the top 10 things that he should do better and put them on this list. That's not true. I don't know. I just made them up. So it has some things I know apply towards me, and other things I thought might apply towards others, and so it's a mixture of both. So I guess I'd start by saying one of the items that I'll say had on my top 10 list that I took off because I kind of feel like it applies to all of the items on the list is you have to do something outside of your comfort zone. So like I said, originally I'd said, you know, that was one of my items, do something out of your comfort zone. And then later I thought, no, that just needs to be a general application across the board. So some of these you might be thinking, I don't know if I want to do that or not. And hence the comfort zone that you're going to have to get outside of. Okay, so number 10, watch less TV. I know that may sound like a minor thing, but one of the reasons why I wanted to start with this item was is that TV has the ability to be a huge sucker of time, in that you'll sit down and think, oh, I'll watch this one show. And then like 2 hours later, or 3 hours, or who knows how long, has passed. And the thing about TV is that after you've watched it, you just don't really have much of anything to show for your time. And like I said, I wanted to start with this because a lot of the items on my list, as they come, you will see, take some time. And so a lot of what we all use as an excuse on a day-to-day basis is, oh, I can't do that, I don't have time. Or, oh, you know, if I only had some more time, I would do this. And so I will propose that if you were to watch less TV, you would have a significantly larger amount of time to do some of these other items. And if you're thinking to yourself, Carl, I don't watch that much TV, then I guess I will challenge you to add up in the course of a week how many hours of TV you watch. I think you might be surprised just how much more you watch or how much time you spend doing it than what you thought. Or if you say, no, I really don't watch that much TV, then and you don't, then maybe look at some of the other things that you are spending your time on and see whether that's a true reflection of your priorities in your Christian walk. And maybe there's some other things that you spend a lot of time doing that maybe you need to reprioritize. All right, number 9, be a better neighbor. I put this one on the list as I guess I feel like your neighbors, and I guess maybe I should start also with, as in the one of the scriptures in the Bible, a man asked, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus' answer to that was, I won't say pretty much everybody, but more people who than you would think. But when I say be a better neighbor, I'll say your true neighbors, as we might all define them, as the people who live around you, who you interact with on a more regular basis. And I say those folks because I think those are the ones who have the most potential to be, I'll say, converted, or for you to be an example to, partially just because they're the ones you may spend a good chunk of time with, either doing activities and whatnot, or if nothing else, I would argue that they see what you do as you are, I'll say, in action more than a lot of folks. They see when you're in your yard interacting with your family or working on a project, that kind of thing. They're seeing you and seeing how you act, or maybe seeing how you act and not in a good way. Turn over to Matthew 22, verse 39. And this is when someone asks as far as what are the greatest commandments. The second one, as Jesus answered in verse 39 there, and the second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so I would argue that I think a lot of times we fail to do that, as I think we all love ourselves quite well. And I don't know if we always apply that same love towards our neighbors. So you might be saying, well, Carl, you know, my neighbors aren't very nice people. I don't know if I really just enjoy being with them or like them all that much. And I think that neighbors are folks who you can sometimes get off to the wrong foot with, as far as maybe there was some sort of incident or something where words were said or somebody did something that someone didn't like, and then, oh, I don't like them. I don't want to ever deal with them or talk with them again. And so I'll just say, try and make a specific point to do something nice. And you might be saying, well, what's nice? I will suggest a very simple thing, and just that when you come around the corner and pull in your driveway, wave to them when they're in their yard as you pass by. I think you'll find that if you do that before too long, they will wave when they see you in the yard when they drive by. Maybe, especially this time of year, you could take a plate of goodies over to them. If any of you live near me, feel free to start doing that and bring them towards me. But that can be a good way to kind of say to your neighbors that you've been thinking of them, or kind of maybe get something started with them. Another thing that you could do would be just to send them a card. Once again, this is a great time of year to send a card to somebody who you might not normally send a card. And maybe in that card, you could either put a scripture that was means something to you, or also a good thing that can start a relationship with your neighbors would just to be put something in there to the idea that if they ever need anything, then feel free to ask, whether it be they're cooking something and they didn't realize that they didn't have the little beef bouillon cube that they needed for their recipe, or whatever else it might be. Maybe that if they needed help lifting something. I know a lot of times when you're working around the house, I often think, God, if I just had somebody to help me lift something just for a minute or two, then that'd be really good. And so if you suggest to them that you're willing to help them, then they will also be willing to help you. So it's kind of a two-way street there. So be thinking about how you can be a better neighbor. Item number 8, open up your home. This is one thing that I feel like maybe as the generations have gone on here, particularly as Americans, we all have a bubble that we kind of live inside of. And our home is most certainly inside that bubble that I feel like that if you open up your home, it's a great way to let other people know that when you are a Christian, and can often start a conversation with them. But it can also just be a great way for, I'll say, fellow Christians to have them over. You could have somebody over for dinner. You could host some sort of event. It's talking about Christians, you could do a Bible study. Maybe you're thinking, okay, I don't know about a Bible study. I don't know if I'm capable of doing that, but you could have some sort of event in your house as like a tea party, a craft where some folks come over and do some crafts, or maybe cooking. A lot of different interests where that you might have that others here in the congregation would enjoy coming and doing together. Turn over to Acts 2, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, So this is just as this church is starting and makes it pretty clear that they were spending time with each other in their homes, also there in the temple, eating food, gladness and simplicity of heart, and just being with each other. And I'm also going to throw this out there. That's the advantage of when the preacher is gone and you fill in for him, then you get to pick your topic and you get to say, I won't say whatever you want, but I'm going to throw this out there as far as part of opening up your house, that a while back we did, quite a long time ago, somebody started a program called Dinner for Six. And what it was is, I think it was three couples. Basically, we went from each house and then the next month it switched to another group. I can't remember exactly how it was structured, but I remember it was a lot of fun. So I'm going to throw this out there that if you were to start that program again, you'd kind of get double points. And double points from me for sure, maybe even from God, who probably matters a whole lot more than I, in that you are starting something here and also encouraging people to open up their homes. So I'll just throw that out there, that that would be a good thing to do. Number seven, give more money to the church here. It's one thing that we is a fact that money is what makes the world spin. And you might be thinking, well, Carl, no, God makes the world spin. And on a physical spin of the world, yes, God is what makes it happen. In our economy, the world we live in, it takes money. And that's just a fact. There are a lot of things here at Savage Street that we support. And the in the bulletin on the back corner here, it lists some of those things. The Shemola Mission Hospital and Schools, the Christian Courier, the Focus Press, Don Iverson's work in India. He comes every once in a while and gives a little presentation. That's always really good. Don Patton and his work in Turkey. Mountain States Children Home, also he comes as well and does a presentation, I believe, once a year. And one thing that is not on here that I've been kind of talking to Don a little bit about here recently is the World Bible School. And that's a program where folks can get on the internet, and I don't know exactly how it's all set up. I should probably know a little bit more about it before I talk about it, but it's basically people get on the internet and they can do kind of a study course on the Bible where they do a portion of it, I'll say turn it in, and then members here will then kind of grade that or work with them, and then they give that back to them. That person can either re-study some of the areas or questions and then move on to the next section. Kind of going back to the facts of how the money part works, that people, we can all just kind of hope and that these, you know, the Bible study course will be found on the internet by local people, or money will buy advertising to advertise it in the paper, on the radio, so that way other people can hear about that program and then start studying God's Word. And I've been talking with Don quite a bit about that, and he really feels like that is really doing a lot of good, and that people are really coming to that and you know, participating and studying God's Word through that program. So one verse I'd like to look at in this regard is 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 7. So let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. I like this verse for a couple of reasons. You know, I started with the title of number seven here is give more money. And you might be saying, well, how much should I give, or how do I, you know, do that? And to me, it's brutally, painfully, easily simple in that it says so right here, as you purposed in your heart. And if every day when you come, you think, how much should I give today? Then it probably, in the grand scheme of things, will not total that much. Whereas if you, and now is a good time to be thinking about this next year, think about how much you'd like to give every week. Just have that be part of your budget and just stick to the number that you've come up with. You, like I said, you might be thinking, you know, how much should you give? In the Old Testament, it was a little bit easier. It talks about 10% or a tithe. In the New Testament, or with the church, it doesn't really give a number. There's lots of verses that talk a little bit about it. But I'll throw out, this is strictly my interpretation of how much you should give. There's no scriptural reference for this, so I'll preface it with that. But if we were to take all of the families here, and we wrote your name on there, on this page piece of paper, and we put your income at the top, and then we'll make a list of what you spend your money on, how much you give to the church, how much you spend on entertainment, how much on food, you know, for your house, either rent or house payment. We'll list all those things down, and then everybody's going to take their piece of paper, and we're going to hang them up in the hallway there. And if you would be ashamed to hang that on the wall in there, then you might think about how much you're giving. Like I said, that's strictly my interpretation of a reasonable way in which to determine whether you're giving enough. That if someone was to see what you spend your money on, and you would think, yeah, I'm okay with that, then that would be maybe a good amount. Whereas if you didn't want others to see, there's somebody who is always watching, that would be God, and he knows how much, he sees that list, even if you don't actually have it written down, so might be thinking about that. All right, moving along here, item number 6, stop smoking or lose weight. I had to put that one, those items on my New Year's resolution, as that's maybe a more traditional New Year's resolution. I also put it on there for Bob, because he, and I can say that without calling him out, as he has expressed interest in trying to stop smoking. And this may sound a little bit more like a traditional New Year's resolution, but I think it's an important one, because a lot of folks who struggle with smoking or their weight or some of those more traditional ideas, they really feel like those items, at least on some level, separate them from God. And so they may sound like a silly or maybe not important item, but for them it really is. That feeling of separation from God can come from a couple of reasons. One, some of the things that we spend our time doing takes time. Once again, we already kind of talked about spending time doing other things that are maybe more important related to our Christian walk. But also from the verses that we read in the Bible that talks about our bodies as Jesus' temple, and that we are maybe not treating our bodies as good as we should. One verse that I'd like to read that might help to encourage folks who are going to do these items would be 1 Corinthians 10:13. And as Tim said in class, when he listed one of the verses as being one of his favorites, this is one of my favorites, as often when I am tempted to do something, I really try and remember this verse, and it really, I think, really helps. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So, if you're being tempted, then always remember that verse, and remember that there's always a way out. Always a way out. Makes that very clear right there. And I would also throw out there, in my attempt to get you to do some of these top 10 reasons or ideas, I'll say that instead of either smoking or eating or whatever these items that you're doing that you're wanting to stop, spend that time doing one of the other 10 or 9 on my list. So, alright, item number 5, teach a children's Bible class. We have a really, I think, severe need for this, as that we've got lots of kids here in the congregation, and in case you guys hadn't noticed, the church is getting old. This year alone, there have been 6 people who have died. My dad, Earl, Virginia, Mike Sr., Don Clasby, and Millard now. That's six in 1 year. And if you want to take an attendance here and figure that out as far as six per year, it's dwindling. I thought of the idea that if you're here in attendance today and you think that you'll be here in 15 years, and if I was to have you all come and sit up here on the front rows, everybody who will be here in 15 years, there won't be a huge number of people sitting up here, in that the church has gotten older, and that's nothing against older folks in any way, shape, or form. It's just a fact of life. And so, to me, teaching the children is a really important thing. Let's look over at Mark 16:15. And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so right there it says, you know, all over the world. I will make my claim that where is better to start than with a children's class right here. In that it takes a lot of work, energy, effort, and money to travel to foreign countries to teach God's word. Whereas it most certainly does take work to do it here, and it takes time to do it here. But I think is a very much more doable thing in this up and coming year to teach a children's class. I also kind of talking about the age of folks. To me, children are definitely the future of the church. Dan mentioned that in his prayer this morning, and I would also argue that if you teach a child about Christ and they're a believer, how many years of service does that child slash young adult how much of their life will now be spent teaching others? And so I'm not saying that we should just ignore older folks by any means, but if you teach a child God's ways, then they have a lifetime to share that with others. All right, item number four. Be better to not commit your, I call it, pesky sin. And we all have those pesky sins. I thought about maybe giving a list of what some of those might be, but I kind of decided against that just because for everybody in your Christian walk, it is so greatly different from one person to the next that it's unbelievable. And that for one person, they may be thinking, you know, this area, I'm good. This over here, oh, definitely, you know, I struggle with it. And the next person, it is completely flip-flopped. And so I kind of say pesky, but I don't want to underestimate that word or that sin, in that those sins have a ability to control our lives, or maybe I'll say be out of control in our lives. I want to look over at 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So, to me right there, it says that we are to depart from iniquity, or you know, not be sinning. And I really like this verse here. I won't read it too much partially for sake of time, but if you read, you know, before and after this, there in 19, it talks about, you know, some of the things that are listed here. It talks about profane and idle babblings, which might be some of the those pesky sins. One of them might be gossip or not good language. But it says right there, it says, for they will increase to more ungodliness. And to me, that's often what sin has its ability to do, is you got something that's kind of minor, and then the next thing you know, it's not so minor, it's a little bit more, and one thing leads to the next. Also, right around this verse here too, if you read the whole section, it talks about how what some folks are doing that might seem to be kind of minor, how it led others to lose their faith. And to me, if you do something that causes someone else to lose their faith, I realize that we all are responsible for our own actions in the end, but I don't think that I would want to have that conversation with God on Judgment Day when he brings up the idea that something that you've done caused others to lose their faith. So always good to be mindful of what you say or are doing and the consequences that it may have for others as well. All right, item number 3, read the Bible more. And I know that also this is a great time of year to do this, as a lot of the little handouts where you can read the Bible in a year obviously start on January 1st. So now would be a good time to start that. With some of that kind of stuff, if you're thinking, okay, I don't really read it nearly as much as I would like to, reading the whole thing in a year is something that you just know you're not going to be able to do, then try and be realistic about it, and maybe you could take that same handout or flyer and do half of everything that it says each day, and so then you'd read the Bible in 2 years. But try and keep it for something that you can do and start out a little bit there. And I think that, to me, with the Bible, as you read it, it's one of those things that if you set out to read a certain section, it's pretty easy to find yourself reading a little bit more, because as you're in a section, you just keep wanting to go. I know a lot of times I struggle with that. During the worship service, Don will give a scripture for whatever he's talking about, and then I start reading that, and I keep on going, and I keep on going, and I think, oh wait, Don's still talking about the next point now, and I was still reading the verse from the last one. And so, to me, I think that if you kind of start out even slow, you'll find that it's something that is easily draws you in, and that you can read more and more. I think it's also great with the Bible that every time you read it, even if you're reading the same verse that you read before, you just seem to find new stuff every time you read it. And I think that that's why the Bible has endured the test of time, in that if you look at other books, even books that are good books, they aren't as popular for any real length of time. They have a tendency to kind of come and go, whether it be a spiritual book or any other book. It just, the Bible, just every time you read it, it's got something new. And I think also that it's something new because as life goes on for each of us, things change as far as where you're at in life. And when you read it, to me, I find things all the time that apply to me, and it's like they wrote it just for what's going on in my life this last week. And obviously they didn't, well, maybe you could say that the Bible was written just for me, but not just for me. It was written for me, but it was written for everybody. But to me, I find things all the time that really feel like they apply. I think it's also important to read the Bible more, as you can have a lot better understanding as far as the different events in the Bible and how they all fit together. I know that particularly as a lot of the children's classes, we teach them and show them all the different stories, that come from the Bible, and that's super great. But a lot of times, just the stories, you can really get disconnected from the actual how the whole story, as in the whole Bible, is linked together. I can remember where we grew up over in Klamath Falls at Nile Street. I knew a lot of the different Bible stories, and then I think it was sometime when I was maybe in junior high or in high school, Don did a sermon just where he preached through Genesis. And if you think about a lot of the stories that we hear in Bible class, then a lot of them come from Genesis, and I had never quite seen how one led to the next or the next, and man, I just thought it was great where I could see that story, and hey, they just ran right into that story right afterwards. And so I think that can often be the case where a lot of our knowledge of the Bible is really kind of sectioned up, and so by reading through it, you can really get a better connection of how it all fits together. Also, I think it's important to read the Bible more, just so that way you can have better general Bible knowledge. So that way when your neighbor, who you're being more neighborly to now, asks you a question, then you can have a better idea on how to to be able to answer and maybe give them a passage that they could read or that you could read to them. And so that's always, more Bible knowledge is always a good thing. I wanted to read Ephesians 6:17. And this is the section that talks about kind of arming yourself for battle and makes a specific reference to God's Word, which we know as the Bible. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And once again, I'm not going to read through the whole section here, but he lists numerous different pieces of clothing or armor that you're putting on to go into battle, and mentions right here that basically God's Word is your sword. And I would argue that we don't necessarily fight with a sword, so I'm going to say that in a more modern interpretation of this, that God's Word is your gun. And for those of you who know me, I'm kind of a gun nut, so that kind of has an appeal to me. But if you were to go into battle, a modern day battle, you would not leave your gun behind. That would be one of the first things that you would pick up. And I think that that's the same is true with the Bible, in that it needs to be one of the first things that you pick up and one of the last things that you put down. Number two, attend worship service more, or maybe other worship services that you aren't currently attending. A lot of the time that we kind of talked about, you know, that all these things take time, and with attending worship service, it has to be a priority as far as where you want to spend your time. And I would argue that if you decide to come on either Sunday evenings or Wednesday night, or maybe coming on Sunday mornings is not a real regular thing. But one good thing about coming to this worship services is that you will be doing several of the things that we've talked about on my list just automatically by being here. So you can cross a few of those things off your list. By being here, I think that you will find that you are greatly encouraged, either in a couple different ways. Encouraged by maybe what it is that Don or the speaker has to bring in his message that day. Maybe by the songs that are sung that day. Maybe just with talking or fellowship with some of the other fellow Christians either before or after services. Here's a novel idea. You could encourage others while at worship service. So it's not always just about you, but what you can do for others. I think a famous guy once said something along those lines. Also, I think that it's important to attend worship service as far as showing a good example. And showing a good example to who? I would start by saying your kids, in that if every worship service or every Sunday morning you guys are kind of deciding whether you should or shouldn't go, or maybe on a Sunday or Wednesday evening trying to decide whether you're going to, you know, are you guys going to stay home or are you guys going to go, kids are remarkably smart. All the time I see some of mine, and yes, just like every parent, my four kids are the smartest four kids in the entire world. And I'm sure you guys say that about your kids. But the all the time they say things that I just think, wow, that was, you know, either really smart, or they'll say something that makes me realize that they're either watching my wife and I and what we do or whatever, and really makes me think, oh, I need to make sure that I'm not, you know, that I am being a good example for them. Also, I think it's a good example to your neighbors. We kind of commented on that. Your neighbors are also smart people. They know, I would argue that your neighbors could probably determine or tell you your level of dedication by, you know, they see you go to church on some Sundays, but not every Sunday. Or if they see you leave, you know, on a regular basis to come to, you know, Sunday evening worship service or on Wednesday nights, they know that just without you doing anything other than just you driving by, they know that it's a priority for you in your life. Also, your friends, same idea, in that if your friends know that that's what you do on those days, it just tells them instantly what your priorities are. So later, if they have a question, one, I would argue that if you were a regular attendance, you know, had regular attendance, out of their friends, you might be the friend that they would be more likely to come to with a question. But two, by attending, you would probably be better prepared to answer their questions. And like I said, if nothing else, it conveys to them instantly what your priorities are. One other thing that I wanted to comment on, too, as far as attending worship services, is that I'll have to admit, sometimes I'm always not super excited about coming, and that maybe the day was super stressful, I just barely made it home in time, and now I'm literally just jumping from one car into the other one, or whatever the case might be, which I will also comment on that those are not the right thoughts to have, but being realistic, I think that we do all have those thoughts. But I can truthfully say that I've never once thought, I don't know if I really want to go tonight. And then I come, and then I think, ugh, what a waste of my time. Why did I go? Not once. Every single time that I've maybe had a bad attitude about coming, that when it's all done and I'm on my way home, I think, I'm really glad that I went. And that, to me, it is a great way to renew your Christian walk, like I said, with encouragement or hearing some or a lesson about, you know, God's Word, especially on Wednesday nights, is a good way to kind of remember what you're supposed to be doing. And kind of on that same note, I wanted to look at Luke 24, verses 52 and 53. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So it mentions several things here, that they were continually praising and blessing, but that they returned with great joy. And I think that if you make it a more of a priority in your life to attend worship services, you will find that the exact same thing is true for yourself. And my number one item, I know you guys are all on the edge of your seats, is to pray more. I think that this is the number one item, and is a good number one item. One, because all of the items that are on my list can be accomplished more better. Yes, my wife's an English teacher. All the items can be accomplished more better than with prayer than without. I also think that we all spend quite a bit of time talking with our friends, our parents, coworkers, you know, all those people who we talk to on a regular basis. I'll say talking to, but often when we talk with some of those folks, some of what we are talking about, or maybe I'll say complaining about or struggling with, you know, we talk about our struggles or complaining and that kind of thing. And no offense to friends, parents, and coworkers, but quite often they can't do anything about whatever it is that you've got going on. Whereas if you were to talk to God through prayer, He's the one who can make something happen. So, verse I wanted to read on this that to me makes it pretty clear is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pretty long verse. I hope you can all stick with me. Pray without ceasing. And to me, that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for interpretation or misunderstanding as far as, you know, how much should I pray? It says without ceasing. And I know that when I look at how much I pray, I think I definitely cease. I put that as number one because that's going to be one of my number one priorities in this next year. But I hope that it will also be for you guys as well. So anyway, that is my top 10 New Year's resolutions. And I am hoping that maybe some of them will be on your guys' list. If you're thinking that they all stink, then, well, that's fine. Put together your own list and really try and do some of those things. New Year's resolutions are one of those things that, to me, can often, you start out super good and you're doing it right, and then either like maybe an hour later you're not so good, or a week later or a month later you're not so good. So One thing that I might encourage you to do with your list is to write an actual list, and you do a lot of different things. I'll say in the modern era of our phones that are not just phones anymore, it's everything. You can put in your calendar program. You could type up your list and put it in there where it'll pop up and remind you once a month. You could read back through that list and help and keep you on track. They make certain apps for your phone. That's just a reminder that will automatically give you reminders for certain things. They have a lot of things that are actually designed for remembering birthdays and stuff like that, that you could use an application like that where it would remind you of your list. So that way, on an ongoing basis, maybe throughout this next year, it'll help to remind you on what you're doing or where you're at and help to encourage you to stick to your list, so that way we can all strengthen our Christian walks. This morning, if you are here and you have been struggling maybe with one of the items that I put on my list or on your own list you've been struggling with, then we can do a couple of things. If you come forward, then we would be super glad to pray for you. Just right here and now, we'll do that. Or if you have not started your Christian walk, then we would really like to see you baptized today, and we're all prepared to do that. All you have to do is come forward as we sing this next song.